You're listening to Beyond the Jargon, a jargon-free look at graduate students and their research here at the University of Victoria. I'm Colleen, and I'll be your host today.
All right, I'm so excited today because I am outside here with my guest today, Tasha Lobsinger, who is a master's student at UVic. She's actually really at the tail end of her master's program. So welcome, Tasha.
Thank you, Colleen.
I thought I'd tell our listeners kind of the funny way that I ended up meeting you. I happened to be downtown in Victoria at an art fair, and I came across this photographer's booth. The photos really got my attention, and it turned out it was Tasha. And we started gabbing, and I don't know, one thing led to another, and somehow I told her I was a student at UVic, grad student, and then she said she was a grad student, and I said, you know, I happen to be the director of communications at the Grad Student Society, and we just closed our contest for our upcoming handbook cover photo contest. I would have loved to seen your stuff. And she's like, oh, well, I'm on the cover from last year's. I had no idea. So I went in there totally blind. And here I am talking to the gal that's the handbook that I use every day, 50 times a day. She's already the cover artist. I love that. I thought that that was kind of fun. Anyway, so now, if you could just give us the official title of your program, and then we'll go from there.
So I'm doing my Master's of Science in the Faculty of Exercise Science, Physical and Health Education.
Ah, okay.
The stream that I'm doing is Health Promotion. So I guess I've always kind of had an artsy side to me, and I never really let it thrive during my undergraduate years. I kind of felt guilty, like if I wasn't doing my schoolwork, if I wasn't going to the gym, or if I wasn't eating.
No,
I felt
yes.
like I needed to be doing my readings or I needed to be doing my homework.
Right.
So I kind of pushed that artsy side of me aside and neglected it a bit in undergrad. And through my grad school experience, I've had tons of support. I've been TAing a wonderful course, EPHE 142.
And what is TAing?
Right, sorry. It's a teaching assistant. I basically am hired on. There's a main professor who will teach the course, and I'm hired on as a graduate student teaching assistant to help the professor. So I've had opportunities teaching different lectures, dealing with students, so one-on-one meetings, holding exam reviews, midterm reviews, marking, and just kind of really being the assistant to the teacher. So you're a TA, a teaching assistant.
Very busy, but getting a good experience at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what is the course again? Now it has, going with the theme of Beyond the Jargon, because it's so easy for all of us. I realize I start speaking in lingo all the time, and I'm like, wait a minute, I need to back up and make sure,
So it's a human health, wellness, and potential course.
Oh.
So it's within the exercise science faculty, but it's a really popular course across campus, across different faculties.
I'm really intrigued by the title of that. The fact that the word potential is in a course title.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I learned a lot while I was TAing, teaching assistant, in this course because I kind of came into grad school with the idea that health meant you're physically active and you're eating well.
Yeah.
So physical activity and nutrition.
I think most of us kind of think of that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a normal way of thinking. And so what I discovered in this class talking about different wellness issues, spirituality, occupational wellness, social wellness, is that I need to allow myself to go socialize with my friends, to do some of these artsy things that I enjoy doing, if I want to be well overall. And so I kind of started learning that, and I started really going for hikes and not thinking the whole time, oh man, I should be doing my readings. Oh,
I'm a bad student. Yeah, I should be. Yes.
I better get back to my work. I better.
So the guilt was gone.
The guilt, I started letting that go because I was starting to learn that my hikes and enjoying my hikes and making a birthday card for a friend, it's all important to my wellness. Whereas I was kind of focused on just the health, physical health aspect before.
I think that's a really great thing. I can imagine people out there listening to this thinking how often they delay what somebody might call the pleasurable thing. Because I'm supposed to work, I'm supposed to be studying, I'm supposed to be doing this. But to hear that that's actually not just some arbitrary piece of pleasure, it's actually critical to your health.
Yeah, and to being well-rounded, overall well-being. Mentally, physically, socially.
Nice.
Yeah, once I started allowing myself to be creative without the guilt of missing 3 hours of homework or missing 3 hours of readings. It actually allowed me to be more efficient. So I would come to campus during the day. I would want to do my readings, maybe a chapter that I could casually do at home and spread it out over 3 hours, but I feel good because I'm spending 3 hours doing schoolwork. I could condense that, be super efficient, and get it done in an hour between my breaks, and then when I go home for the evening, I can go for a nice long run along Dallas Road. I can watch the sunset. I can take pictures of the sunset. I can go home and edit a few photos and put them on my website. And then the next day, I feel great. Yes. I feel satisfied. I feel like I've achieved things. I feel good at something. And then I'm more well to get back into the schoolwork the next day.
And your schoolwork is, you're actually more productive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually really good to hear, because I've found myself in this little phase as I'm doing a PhD here, and it can be rather confusing. PhDs can be, well, any studies can be really going off into the unknown, and you're in uncertain territory, and you do feel like, I'm supposed to be in the library all the time, and there's so much to know, and with this gorgeous weather we have been having in Victoria lately, I have just felt this need to just go outside, and I've been kind of beating myself up because you should be in the library, but I'm already feeling a little bit relieved of, yeah, it does me no good to sit there stressed out, wishing I was somewhere else for 8 hours. How much work am I really accomplishing?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, that's so can remember just spending so many nights. I would maybe read a page, check my email, read a page, check my Facebook. If I'm giving myself 1 hour to get this done so I can enjoy the night, I'm not taking email and Facebook breaks in between pages. I'm reading the full chapter, and then I'm getting out of there to enjoy my night.
Yes, that's a really balanced approach to how to do your work and play.
Yeah.
It's not unbalanced or unstable at all. It's not irresponsible to go off and do what you enjoy. It's actually utterly responsible, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I've had a lot of undergraduate students in the course that I've been TAing. I've TA'd it 5 times now, 5 different semesters.
Yes.
The professor has been great, actually, to kind of encourage me to go focus more time on photography. She's actually invited me 3 semesters ago. I started doing a photography and wellness presentation to the students in the course. So I did that. I've done that for 3 semesters now. And
clearly it's successful because they want you back. They keep hiring you back to do this.
I guess so, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and the teacher started adding in a feedback aspect of it. What she does sometimes when there's guest speakers or a significant movie that we've watched, she has the class do a 1-minute paper after. So they do a quick reflection, write it down. And it was just crazy to hear how much they could relate to some of the stuff I was saying and how much I had impacted them. So some of the comments were along the lines of, I could totally relate to you when you said that health was just the physical dimension, eating well and getting some exercise, and I totally feel guilty if I'm doing anything but schoolwork, and I'm so happy that you've been able to talk about photography and wellness and how you take the time to do photography to become more well, and you incorporate photography into your wellness activities, and that enhances your photography skills. So it's kind of like a loop.
Now, okay, just to back up a bit, how did you get to grad school? Where did that come from? If you're doing a master's, you obviously had a bachelor's somewhere, and did you go directly into it from your bachelor's?
Yeah,
how did that
work? I guess just growing up, I was on a lot of community sport teams, travel hockey, high school basketball. I did swimming and I played tennis.
Nice.
And I was involved in all these sport activities. And then academically, I was excelling in maths and sciences. And so I had a bit of pressure, I guess, from family or just expectations that I would maybe go on to be a doctor or something like that.
Yes, many people get that.
So for a long time, I really thought that I was going through to dental school. But I heard of this program at Queen's University where you could do a double degree. So the one was life sciences and the other was physical and health education. And so I did those 2 degrees at the same time. It's a bit more than a double major because you actually come out with both degrees.
So you were, what, studying 24 hours a day?
I mean, I hadn't learned this wellness thing yet.
I was going to say, because that's a tough thing to do. So now you're getting 2 degrees that kind of are in the two parts of your growing up. You were good in the math and sciences, but you also have the love for the physical activity.
Yeah.
I love that too.
And so I would say just as the courses went on throughout my undergrad, maybe first year I had more science courses, second year a little bit less and a little bit more of the physical and health education. By the end I really realized, like, I'm not really sure about this dentist thing. I wrote the DATS, which is the dental aptitude test. I studied for that. I applied to some dental schools in my last year at Queen's, and I just wasn't excited about it.
And the passion wasn't there.
Yeah, and so I wasn't really sure, though, what else I was going to do. One of the teachers that I had at Queen's in my undergrad, one of my physical and health education teachers, approached me about potentially doing a master's with her when I finished.
Oh, okay.
And I had never really, I mean, even at a university institution, I never really, I mean, I knew people were out there doing their master's, but I didn't quite know
how it worked,
what it was all about.
Right.
I didn't really think that I wanted to do it. Yeah, it just sounded like a whole bunch more school to me at the time. But yeah, I considered the offer with her. I talked more to her about what it would involve, and she ended up kind of, without her knowing, allowing me to think of maybe pursuing master's programs elsewhere. So I ended up applying out here just because of the environment.
Isn't it interesting that the importance of just one trusted opinion can really just...
Totally.
It's not like she forced you, but she just shed a light on something that... I've had that happen. I got here on the West Coast and in a different country than where I'm from.
Yeah.
Because it was one person said, hey, have you ever considered a PhD? And it just had never even entered my mind. It was not a plan.
No.
I mean, some people have it really planned.
Yeah.
And I just went, well, and it went from that, well, I don't know kind of answer to...
And then all of a sudden you're interested.
And they point me to one person that really responded a lot from, and it was from the University of Victoria.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I'm flying out here, sight unseen, going to grad school again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just when you needed it, somebody was there.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that's exactly how I feel like I came into this photography thing as well. Like, it's how I got into grad school, the one person sparking my interest in it. And then similarly with the photography thing, I'd say Laura Lazon, the professor for the course I was TAing.
Yes.
Her enthusiasm and encouragement in combination with everything I was learning in that course.
Yes.
And bam, like...
There it was.
A year later, actually... Yeah, tomorrow will be my 1 year anniversary for my website. So it's
nice.
Like pretty much a year ago I actually started putting all this stuff together.
Yeah. And what's your website, by the way, now that you bring it up? What's your website?
It's tashalobsinger.zenfolio.com.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. All right. So now you said you've completed all your coursework, right? You're done with your major coursework, so you're on the part that this is the part where it's harder to understand, even if you're in grad school at the time. It's this nebulous doing thesis paper or thesis project, a combo.
I'm still doing my thesis paper.
Okay, so
I'm
a paper.
Still, okay. Yeah, I'm still going to be writing it all up, defending it. I haven't switched to project. It has been a bit tough having two major things to focus on, but I think that just being happy is getting me through it.
And it's that in and of itself is part of what your research is about, right?
Yeah, totally.
So what do you need to do at this point? Where does one, when somebody's out there listening and saying, okay, this is like rather really inspiring. I've had these kind of ideas, and I didn't have just one idea, and And you kind of represent the person who combined different ideas. You've had double degrees, and now you're combining things that people didn't normally combine, and all of a sudden it's making sense, and someone says, yes, that's a great research idea.
Yeah.
What do you do to research this kind of idea? You're looking up other people's ideas, and you're writing about them, or are you out there surveying people? That's what a lot of people think research is, idea survey.
Yeah.
So how does that work with what you're doing?
So how my project came about, there's many different ways it can happen, and there's no way of knowing before you get to grad school.
Yes.
It all comes to you within your first year. I remember being starting my master's program, not knowing what the heck was going on.
Yes.
And how I'm going to decide what my thesis project's going to be. And all the second years, people who had already been through that first year just kept telling me, just wait, just like,
yes,
it will come to you, opportunities will come up, and I'm like, where are they, like,
yes,
what do I have to do, and they're like, just chill out.
I'm drifting in fog here, somebody clear something. Yes.
Yeah, and it's funny now I say that to first year students, because the professors are great, they know what you're interested in. You'll come into your master's and tell them the areas you're interested in, different things that you might consider looking at. And you might not know, and you might, throughout your courses, you'll learn what kind of studies other people are doing, and you'll eventually start going in a direction towards the ones that interest you.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I guess how I came about it was articles or topics would come up in classes that seemed interesting.
Okay.
I would approach my supervisor and say, should I do this study?
Yes.
And she would say, she would talk to me about the logistics, about if I'm on the right track to do that type of study, about if it's out of my scope or within my scope for a master's project.
Okay.
And yeah, having a supervisor is great. There's someone who's really there one-on-one to guide you and direct
you. So you're not just like hanging out on a limb all by yourself.
No.
Because that's what, you know, that can prevent a lot of people from going to grad school, because there is the real intimidating aspect of, because you're dealing with so much unknown.
Yeah,
but
totally.
You clearly have had some wonderful people to guide you along the way.
Yeah, and the upper year peers, they're great. Like, as soon as I got into second year, all I wanted to do was share everything I learned with all the first years, because I remember how scary it was and how unknown it was. So everyone just kind of becomes a little community. And what I love about grad school is the professors, you're more mature and you're more grown up, that they talk to you on their level.
Nice.
Whereas I think a lot of people in undergrad kind of put their teachers up on a pedestal and, you know, you're one of 1,000 and you might not even get a chance to talk to them. And, and then if you talk to them and then you pass by them later in the day, they don't even recognize you. And,
right, because they can't.
Yeah.
It isn't personal, but there's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
and
no way.
And so that's kind of... It can get discouraging, I think.
Okay, so now you pick a topic and you're going to research it.
I'm looking at the health environment in after-school care programs.
Okay.
So I'm looking at how well these programs support physical activity and healthy eating, which is kind of funny going back to that physical dimension that I'm assessing. but the project was already started before all the wellness kind of ideas started coming to me. So yeah, it's funny that I'm going back to that idea of healthy eating and physical activity. But I think that it's been great to learn that if I were to go on to do a PhD or future studies, I would definitely be doing more of a broader type of assessment and looking at all the dimensions of wellness.
Yeah, that's great though. Oh, so at this point, in some of the programs, in some of the science programs, you are on a team of researchers. Where in the program that I'm in, you're not on a team. Everybody has their own individual idea.
There's different options within our faculty. Some students have kind of hopped on to a larger research study that's already happening, and they're tackling a certain aspect of it. So they're using, it's a bit simpler in terms of recruitment and organization in a way, because that's already kind of there for you. What I'm doing is my own study, so it's on my own. I had an assistant come with me to each facility just because there were two different observation tools that we needed to use.
Yes.
But that was organized by me. And okay. So you have so much option and choice.
I know. I think it's fascinating.
With how you can do it. And everyone in my program has done it a different way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So you can express your individuality in many ways. It's not like you just come in and you do it just exactly the way everybody else has done it before. It's not that.
Not at all. It's your study, and you get to choose. Like, I had so many different options provided to me, and you just say yes or no or maybe, and you let that guide you to your project.
That's great. Now, I'm curious. I have a lot of friends and colleagues that do art-based research, or they incorporate the arts somewhere, whether it's performing arts, visual arts, somewhere in even the dissemination of their information.
Yeah.
Have you thought of how perhaps something like photography can actually be used in how you get your research findings out there? It's like, has that come up?
Yeah, totally. I mean, well, first of all, just for my thesis defense, I'll obviously be using visuals that kind of support my slides in my presentation. I also think it would be a great way to kind of use my skills and my findings for more of a community-based dissemination of results. So sharing what I've learned with the community, I think that a lot more people can relate to maybe like a visual type poster than
I know I could.
Yeah.
I do. I really
than like a 100-page long thesis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, you happen to mention thesis defense.
Yeah.
What is that? What are you defending?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So, like I've talked about coming upon the project that you're gonna do.
Yes.
And then you'll get some participants for your study, and then you'll administer your study, whatever the protocol may be. You'll collect your data, you'll enter it, you'll analyze it, and then you'll defend it. So the defense is you're standing in front of your committee, which involves your supervisor, someone else probably who's doing similar research within the faculty.
Okay, so it's all faculty members?
No, no, not necessarily. Well, I'm not sure if this is true for all faculties, but within our faculty, for the defense, there's an external that comes in. So they have to be external. They have to be coming in. They haven't been part of the deciding process.
But they are a professor at some place?
They're a professor, yeah.
Okay, so they're a professor.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess they're kind of, they come in to make sure that everything went according to protocol.
To help maybe remove bias from one particular, if everything was just in one university all the time.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be external from a different university, maybe a different department.
Okay.
Just someone who hasn't been involved in deciding, okay, we're going to have this many participants, we're going to use this measurement tool, and we're going to use these statistics to prove our results.
Yeah.
Just to kind of make sure that everything's legitimate.
Yeah. And so you just talk in front of this group of people, has a little scary factor to it, but I take it, you know, we all know people that have survived it, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be prepared for it, and that's what your professors
So by the time you're at your defense, you know, your study well, you've spent 2 years doing all the little details for your study, sometimes to the point where you know too much.
Yes, exactly.
When you're working on one project all the time, but then you become so proud of it because you've entered all these values, you've spent days entering it all, and when you come to the defense, you're talking about what you did. So you're presenting to them how you recruited, what tools you used, how you measured, what results you found, and how does this apply within the community, or what are the applications of these findings?
And then they will ask you, when you think defense, you think, oh my gosh, I'm being attacked. But it's like the committee, the group that's there to hear you will respond with questions.
Yeah.
And
so
it's there to make sure that you covered your bases, so to speak.
So you know, because you can pick and choose which parts of your study you're going to present to them.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of making sure that you know of similar studies that have been conducted at different universities around the world, significant ones that relate to your study or that influence your study. They just want to make sure that you've done the research and that you've covered it all. And so I actually just went and watched one yesterday. It's nice in a way. They're almost just chatting with you about maybe some changes that you might make before submitting it, the final copy. Some of the questions that come up are like, why didn't you use this statistical analysis for this section of your results? And then you would give an explanation.
Actually, this is really good to hear because it removes some of the scariness of it when you don't know and you just hear, I don't know what it's going to be like. And, and it sounds like it's way more doable. Than you might think for if you're from the outside, and if that's the reason you're considering not doing something, it sounds like that you can. This is very doable, and people are there to help you. It's not there to stop your research.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's basically, I mean, if you don't know your stuff at all, you might not.
But the odds of you getting to that point and not knowing anything would probably be really slim.
Yeah, so. Because your supervisors have been guiding you the whole time and making sure you know that stuff and preparing you. The external is just in to point out, okay, maybe we should include that statistical analysis. We've got the data. It would be silly to not include it. So then you spend a few weeks doing that and adding it and refining it so that your final copy is
good to go, approved, and then you get your degree.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, see, that's awesome. That's really, I've done several interviews to date, and this is the first one where we've gotten more into the details of that final process, which I feel is in a really intimidating process when you're on the outside.
Yeah.
But to hear you explain it, and the fact that you're sitting here, I know the listeners can't see this, but you have this lovely smile on your face, and you're relaxed, and you're right right before you're going into this process, that's a sign of, yes, you can make it through this.
Yeah.
For anyone out there listening,
quit. Even in my data collection phase, I was maybe nervous about the defense, but now that I'm getting so close to it and I'm getting more prepared for it, it's not as intimidating.
I think that's great.
Yeah, you will be prepared, and I mean, some students take a bit longer, and it's not that they're slower, it's that maybe the scope of their study is a bit larger, they need more time to enter data because they've collected more data, or they're doing more statistical analyses, so they spend a semester or two longer. So it's not like if you're not done in 2 years, it's a pass or fail. Like, you're given a bit more time if you need it.
All right, we're getting close to the end of our time, but I just wanted to ask you if you have any aspect of your photography that just kind of sums up all of what we've been talking about here.
Yeah, there's one photo that I've kind of found reflects what I've been talking about in terms of taking the time to enjoy your life, enjoy your activities, and to get back to schoolwork the next day. And I've used this photo in the photography and wellness presentation that I've done for the Health, Wellness, and Potential course that I TA'd. It's one of
Did you take this photo?
Yeah, I took this photo, and it's actually one that a lot of people comment on at the markets and on my website. It's a popular one. A lot of people order it. I took it down at Dallas Road. There's an orange and white hippie van. The grass is tall. I'm lying in the grass to take this photo. There's the mountains in the background.
Because Dallas Road, for those of you listening, maybe not from here, is this gorgeous coastline, the southern tip of Vancouver Island. Horizon is the Olympic Mountains of Washington. So it's a pretty stunning view.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. One night last year, going for a night of just me time, I went to Dallas Road. I brought my camera. I took a few pictures, and then I went for a run while the sun was setting. And then I came back, and I took some more pictures of the sunset. I spent the whole night down at Dallas Road just by myself, just doing my photography and running stuff. I think that photo, to me, really captures the photography and wellness and maybe why I thrive and why that photo turned out as well as it did, because I was really in my element that night. And so I think it's interesting when a lot of people point to that one and say, oh, look at that photo, like at the market and stuff. And I'm like, you have no idea how much that photo means to me.
People can feel something from it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's a perfect way to end. So thank you so much, Tasha, for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Again, thank you for listening to Beyond the Jargon on CFUV.